We're reading from 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 9th chapter, the appearance of the demon Vritrasura, from the 21st verse. Shrideva Uvacha Vayavyambaragnyapishitaya Striloka Brahmadayo ye vayam udvijanata Haramayasmai balim antakoshyau Bibeti yasmad aranam tatona Srideva Utu, the demigod said, Vayu, composed of air, Amba, sky, Agni, fire, Up, water, Shitaya, and land, Triloka, the three worlds, Brahma Adaya, beginning from Lord Brahma, Ye, who, Vayam, we, Udvijanta, being very much afraid, Harama, offer, Yasmai, unto whom, Balim, presentation. Antaka, the destroyer. Death. Asau, that. Bibeti, fears. Yasmat, from whom? Aranam, shelter. Tata, therefore. Na, our. The demigod said, the three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations unto time by performing our work as time dictates. The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord who alone can give us full protection. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When one is afraid of being killed, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is worshipped by all the demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, although they are in charge of the various elements of this material world. The words Bibeti Yasmat indicate that all the demons, regardless of how great and powerful, fear the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, being afraid of death, took shelter of the Lord and offered him these prayers. Although the time factor is fearful to everyone, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore known as Abhaya, fearless. Taking shelter of the Supreme Lord brings actual fearlessness, and therefore the demigods decided to take shelter of the Lord. So, in this section we see how there's this, Vritrasura is attacking the demigods, and he's so ferocious that they're very, very fearful. And so they've concluded that very rightly, that their only shelter is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand that when a person is less intelligent, we will tend to take shelter of material things. And if we're more intelligent, we'll understand that we need to take shelter of Krishna. So it's so tempting to take shelter, like the demons do, in false pride, lusty desires, the illusion that they're controllers. Those are considered to be demoniac mindsets. And it's considered that when we give up shelter of all these nonsense things and take shelter of the Supreme Person, then the scriptures describe that we are then known as divine. So that's one of the differences between the demoniac mentality and the divine mentality, is that we understand that we need to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Because in this material condition, we might think that we can maintain ourselves. But in actuality, Krishna is the only maintainer. He's given us heat, light, air, water, food, grains, everything. And so if we're unintelligent, we'll take shelter of these false things. And we won't see that all of these things are actually a gift of God. So in this material world, we don't often understand that our enemies are actually, as Prahlad Maharaj described to his father, six enemies. We have our mind and our five senses. We think we can take shelter in these things. And so therefore we actually become a servant of our senses and sometimes even the ramblings of our mind. So we're all originally a servant of Krishna, but in ignorance we forget this. So almost everyone has fear, because material nature is very fearful. And it's also part of our nature because it's our protective, it offers us protection. We get, when we feel fearful, it's a sign that, oh, maybe something's wrong and I should take some action. You know, maybe I'm afraid of this dog because it's going to run up and bite me, so maybe I have to calm down and turn the other way or whatever. So fear's there for our protection. But nowadays, most of our fear is psychological. We're worried about failure. And it's all stemming from this self-doubt that we have, that we can do things properly. So we tend to run this judgmental movie in our minds, and we do the rerun and the rerun and the rerun and the rerun and the rerun. So it just becomes this non-ending loop of all the fears we have in this material existence. So social scientists, they've done studies and they've found that 94% of the population has all these unwanted negative thoughts. And most of these thoughts are just self-doubt, and they loop continuously. And this fear in the mind, it actually creates suffering, and it perpetuates more fears. So when we're fearful like that, we tend to keep others away. We see that that's a mass mentality. Countries have fear of another country, that they're going to take my resources, or I should have more and take theirs, or they're going to do something to me. And so there's all this mass fear, and we have war. And when we get fearful, we get very judgmental of others. We get overly sensitive. We maybe start to feel shame or anger or even depression, just from all of our unwanted fears. So we need to examine these fears in a proper perspective and see them in the light of the scriptures, and somehow or other learn to calm our raging mind by meditation on the Supreme Lord. Because usually we're taking shelter of anxiety and worry about our future. So Srila Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita that fear is due to worrying about the future. And it's caused by our absorption in the illusory energy. So we need to have this confidence that we're not this material body, that we're actually spiritual parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that when we engage in His transcendental loving service, we will actually have nothing to fear. Prabhupada said that fearlessness is only possible for one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. But the problem is we're conditioned through our material existence. But by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can recondition ourselves to our eternal fearless condition. Because that is our original spiritual nature. And fear just disappears when we truly feel that we have Krishna's shelter. And in fact, the conditioned soul's journey through material existence actually stops when we can take shelter of Krishna. So we have to develop this faith that Krishna is our supreme friend. And he is the supreme controller, even of death. So we see how the demigods, they're fearful of death. And even the demigods, they also see that the time factor will naturally bring death. And so the only thing that they can do is take shelter of Krishna. There's this really nice verse in the Bhagavatam by Amdutiya Pinavesh Tasyat that says that it describes how this fear arises because of lack of our Krishna consciousness. And that one of the inconceivable characteristics of the conditioned soul in Maya is that we actually can't perceive the full extent of this forest of illusion. And we cannot actually perceive how helpless we are. So when we truly appreciate how insignificant we are and how really we can't do anything, and that we've been taking so much bad shelter, we take shelter in so many material things, and it's natural for us to want to take shelter. But if we're intelligent, we'll take it in the proper places. You know, we tend to take shelter of our anxiety, and when we get in anxiety, we get stressed, and we think, oh, maybe if I watch a movie, it'll relieve me from my anxiety, or maybe if I eat some chocolate, you know, I'll feel better. But these things are just, you know, so temporary. They can't really free us from our fearful situations. And part of the reason that we don't realize that Krishna is our only shelter is because we're lacking that faith. So if we lack faith that Krishna really can protect us in all situations, we need to somehow or other take shelter of people who have that faith. And so we need to take shelter in people who have faith that the son of Nanda Maharaj will eternally protect us. So we see in Vrindavan there were so many demons approaching Krishna and Balaram. And sometimes the inhabitants of Vrindavan would be very, very fearful. So one time, Kamsa was getting pretty frustrated that, he'd sent demon after demon. And somehow or other he was thinking, oh, I'm just so foolish, you know. I sent Putana and she was killed by Krishna. I sent this person and what am I going to do? You know, I'm just sending demon after demon and they're being all killed. So he had some cohorts. One of them was Arista and the other one was Keshi. And they said, no. You are supreme. Don't worry. We will protect you. We can go and kill Krishna. You've just picked the wrong people, but don't worry. We're very strong. We can come to your protection. So by this time, Kamsa was getting a little bit doubtful. So he said, all right, Arista, go give it a try. But Keshi, maybe you should stay here. You know, let's keep some of my friends here. So Keshi, he decided that he would take this form of a huge bull. And so he went to Vrindavan. And he was so big that his whole body actually covered the sky. He said that the clouds used to swirl around his tail. But he was so huge that it actually created this darkness. And when the inhabitants of Vrindavan looked out from the village, they thought that they were seeing two suns in the sky. It was actually just the two red eyes of Aristasura. So they started to become very, very fearful. And they were worried, you know, that Krishna and the cowherd boys were in the pasture and ground and what was going to happen. So Keshi was so huge that when he passed Stool, it looked like mountains. And when he passed Urn, it was like rivers flowing in the mountain valleys. And when he began to dig up the ground with his hooves, it created this huge dust storm that made it this darkness that all the inhabitants of Vrindavan were seeing. So he began roaring. And it's described that when he roared, he was so fearful that some of the cows had miscarriages. Not Krishna's cows, only Kamsa's cows. Because Kamsa had his cows in the pastures also, but they were outside of Vrajmandala. But his roaring was so loud that it could be heard everywhere. So it was a very, very fearful situation. And Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were in the pasturing grounds. And the cowherd boys, they actually started to become fearful too. And Krishna just turned to the cowherd boys and he said, don't fear. And that presence of Krishna is so powerful that, you know, when Krishna said, do not fear, all of their fear vanished. You see, sometimes, you know, small children, they'll become really, really scared of something and they'll run to their mom and their mom picks them up. They say, don't worry, you know. And because they feel that shelter of their mother, their fear goes away. But in material existence, it's hard for us to completely get rid of that fear. But somehow or other, the cowherd boys, they just immediately abandon that fear. And Krishna, he actually didn't even look at Aristasura. He started joking with the cowherd boys, and they were like laughing and joking, even though this big demon's like charging at them. So that is like real shelter that they feel, that they're just perfectly happy in Krishna's presence, knowing that they have full shelter of Krishna. So Krishna was kind of joking around, and he put his arm on the shoulder of one of the cowherd boys, and he's kind of, you know, ignoring Aristasura. So Aristasura, he's getting a little bit offended, and he comes charging up, and he put his head down, and he charges up, and he's trying to, like, jab Krishna with his two horns. But Krishna just grabbed him by the horns, twirled him, and threw him long distance. I forget, it was many, many yojanas. And he threw him up, and he fell down really, really hard. He actually got a concussion. He went unconscious. So after a while, you know, he was feeling pretty shattered by that, but he thought, no. He was also angry. So he again charged at Krishna. And this time he also charged, you know, with his horns down. And Krishna grabbed him, and he actually pulled out one of his horns and knocked him over on the ground and began beating him with one of the horns and stomping on him. Prabhupada describes just like a washerman would clean clothes, he would stomp on them to squish all the water out. He like stomping on Aristasura like this till all the life just fled from his body. And it was such a fearful situation for Aristasura that he was simultaneously, you know, passing stool and urine because he was so afraid. So we see that Krishna is the supreme shelter of all living entities. And when we're fortunate, like the cowherd boys, they could take that instant shelter because they had that supreme conviction that Krishna would save them in every situation. So Krishna has also given us the gift that we can make choices. We can make the choice where we're going to look for shelter, the choice that we can make good choices when we're in dark periods of our life, to somehow or other come back to this position of being conscious of Krishna. It's never appropriate to say that I'm just a victim of circumstances and there's nothing I can do. Because when we take that victim position, it sort of implies that we don't have any choice. And it's useless. It completely disempowers us. But if we look, we see that in so many circumstances, no matter what the circumstance is, we can always, within our mind, take shelter of Krishna. And it doesn't mean that we're always going to get relief from all of the pain, but we can always find shelter. So just like, you know, we may be very tired and we can try to take relief from sleep. And yes, we get some relief, but again, we're going to be tired. Or we can be very hungry and we can again want to take relief so we have food, but again, we're going to get hungry. So relief is rather temporary. But shelter is something in a different category. Shelter is something that completely nourishes us and supports us in all circumstances. We were explaining that we live in a community called Sharanagati. So it's in a rather remote location. And when the devotees who purchased the property, they realized that it was going to be a little bit hard because it's a kind of a desert area, not a lot of water, cold climate. So they decided that we will name this project Sharanagati because in order to flourish here, we're going to have to take shelter. So in Sharanagati, Sharan means shelter and Gati means the path that you move towards. So we want to move towards the shelter. So how can we be better at making good choices that will move us towards this taking shelter of Krishna? So sometimes it requires that internal introspection and taking a few steps back and looking at our life and the situations and choices that we are taking. Because sometimes when we're just in the thick of all of our anxieties and fearful situations, we can't actually see them for what they are. So sometimes we, you know, need to take a little break, you know, go for a walk, think deeply, speak with a friend, speak with persons who are more advanced, and try to understand, you know, what is our condition, and how can we improve? And we always have that choice, that we can take the look and see how we want to improve and see what's missing, what needs more attention, and what, if we did more regularly, would bring us to a position of more happiness. So when we want to take this new perspective, first of all, we need to develop some vision for our life in Krishna consciousness. You know, a vision where we can perceive that Krishna consciousness, it's actually possible for us. Because sometimes we may be in some situation and we may think, I just can't, I really can't engage in all the processes of Krishna consciousness. Maybe it's not for me. But maybe we can envision some situation where we can execute Krishna consciousness nicely and where this vision is possible for us. So in order to, you know, have this vision that Krishna consciousness is possible, we have to have that faith. And if our faith is weak, like I was saying, we maybe have to take shelter of persons whose faith is strong. So that's why generally in spiritual life we look for a spiritual master and persons who can guide us in Krishna consciousness, who have that firm faith that the son of Nanda Maharaj is always going to give them that protection. So when we have this empowering spiritual vision and we know where we want to go, then it's more easy to endure the disappointments. You know, when we have bad health, it's a little bit harder. When we have relationship problems, when somebody says something to us, when we get upset, we can take shelter that these are, you know, temporary setbacks, but I have that vision and goal of this wonderful place where I want to go. And we also need to develop a strategy of how we're going to reach the goals of our visions. So we have to have this step-by-step strategy of how I'm going to make spiritual advancement. We probably take that strategy with the help of the scriptures, the time, you know, proven processes, speaking with others to understand our individual, you know, psychophysical natures and what we need personally to advance in spiritual life. And then we actually have to take steps. We have to begin with step one and step two. Sometimes we think the goal is very far away, but we understand that, you know, if we want to reach some destination, it begins with taking that first step. So we have this strategy, and what are these small steps which I can take to reach my goals? And that's where our power lies, in taking those small steps every day. And those small steps actually is what helps us develop our relationship with Krishna. It's our sadhana and our spiritual practice that helps us to develop that relationship with Krishna, where we see that we can have full faith in him and that he is our only shelter. So this daily spiritual practice may not seem like some big thing that the whole world's going to, you know, see, but Krishna will see it. And we understand that our sadhana and our chanting the holy names and our worshipping the deity, those are the watering the roots of our tree, our spiritual creeper. So we may not like see the roots of this tulsi plant, but we can understand if the roots are healthy by how well the leaves develop. So it's so essential that we take these daily steps to water the root of our spiritual creeper. And that will give us the strength to make ongoing good choices, how to reach the goals that we want to reach. So we need to, at every moment, take shelter, in that we take shelter of the Holy Name and our spiritual processes. In that way, we will develop that bigger sense of shelter, where we can not have fear in so many situations, and ultimately even in death-threatening situations like the demigods are experiencing here with Vritrasura. So we can all begin that path of taking shelter at any moment. So if anyone has any reflections on that or comments, yes, Himangi?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for a nice class. I have a question regarding fears, because fear in our shastras is described as undesirable and like tamaguna. But at the same time, we know that Maya Devi, is, as a pure Krishna devotee, is actually his main quest is to keep us under illusion. Mm-hmm. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized at the same time that we need to have fear of Maya, that our own problem, our main problem is that we have no enough fear of Maya. So how we can pull healthy line between this unhealthy fear, which is not desirable, and how we can approach Maya as a pure Krishna devotee, and also at the same time have that healthy
sense. Fear.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, Prabhupada often commented, he says, the problem is you are not afraid enough of Maya. Right. So that's a very good question, how to have that healthy fear. And part of it is by realizing our insignificance. And actually, it's by appreciating how valuable the process of Krishna consciousness is. And when we have this strong appreciation for Krishna and the shelter that he can give us, then we won't want anything to take that away. And so therefore we understand from our long conditioned life and material existence that Maya can take us away. So we have to not be naive and realize that if we engage so-called innocently in the allurements of Maya, that we won't be again grabbed under her clutches. So we have to have that healthy fear that Maya is very, very powerful, but that strong conviction that I want Krishna more. And that healthy fear keeps us strong in wanting that attachment to Krishna, and that's how we keep it healthy. Krishna enlightened me in my heart. I thought, how the heck am I going to answer that? Anybody else have anything? Yes. I had to take shelter there. I was getting fear. I was going to blow it. The eternal, the...
Turn this also against Krishna So this might be a great obstacle in taking spiritual shelter, because you can say, I don't deserve to be protected by Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
How to overcome this
how to overcome this negative thoughts that maybe I don't deserve shelter of Krishna, and maybe I don't have the strength to actually take shelter of him.
And maybe it's true that I don't deserve, because maybe I don't want. Maybe I'm just hiding behind I don't deserve. Maybe I don't want. Maybe. Who knows what's happening?
I think you're answering your own question. I think that's very good. Because it's true, we could be hiding behind that. And it's said that Krishna wants us to come back to Godhead. We've just forgotten. You know, Prabhupada would often give the example of the rich man's son who would just, you know, be out trying to fend for himself, and he's forgetting that he can come home at any time under the shelter of his father. So we do get these self-doubts and this negative conception of ourself because of this false identity. We have so many false illusions of who we are. So that's why it's very important to take association of devotees who can help us to understand that we aren't this conditioned nature that we think we are, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna, and that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, and that Krishna loves every one of us. And that's just who we are.
I may think that I'm actually not worthy of Krishna's protection. So we may think like that, but because we're trying to serve Srila Prabhupada, and he's very dear to Krishna, if we take shelter of Prabhupada, Krishna is very likely to give us shelter, because we have some relationship with Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So although we may be very small and insignificant and unworthy of Krishna's attention, because we're hanging on to the lotus feet, to the succession to Srila Prabhupada, Krishna will notice us and help us and carry what we lack and preserve what we have.
Nice question. Thank you very much. So we are the eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and we are meant to enjoy that loving relationship with Krishna, and that's who we actually are. But by contact with material nature and taking shelter of these other things, we become influenced and think that we aren't worthy of taking shelter of Krishna. But it's an inherent right that we have that nothing can take away.
Sometimes when Krishna was fighting with demons like Keshi and Arishtasura, it's described, I think in Gopalchampu, that you were saying at first the cowherd boys were fearful and Krishna gave them assurance. And then they actually became so fearless, they would run up and slap the demons like Keshi.
Yeah, that's right. That was especially with Bakasura, they were all doing that. Yeah. All right.
I have also one question about Hare Krishna. I have also one question about fear, and I just what I'm thinking, but I would like to ask you, because you have many experiences as a Grihastha couple. Isn't the fear that also sometimes the woman doesn't want to leave husband to take care of everything and be in position that his husband is a party guru, and she wants to take in charge of something? Isn't this the fear of a woman, that she's not taking the shelter of her husband in a way like a party guru, or that he's sent from Krishna to guide her, etc., and she wants to do on her own because she knows the best, she knows how to do it, etc.? If you can enlighten this my doubt a little bit better.
So you're worried that your wife won't be able to take shelter of you, that she'll think that she knows how to do everything better than you?
I think this is the thing that is happening not just outside, but also in Iskan couples when they are together. Because mm-hmm. you can see some things that are visible. You can be a second grade mm-hmm. psychologist, but you can see.
Right, because we all have this false ego. There's a really, really nice statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta where he says that if one wants to find a husband or a wife, one should only take as a partner a person who they see as being more advanced than themselves. So the husband should be looking for a lady which he sees as more advanced than him, and the lady should be looking for a man that she sees as more advanced than herself. And in this way, they should jointly serve the Supreme Lord. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that neither husband nor wife has any right to the service of the other, nor the possessions of the other, nor the right to engage them in their service. Rather, they should see that everything they do is for the service of the Supreme Lord. So, having said that, we understand that service is mutual, and that in material existence, we tend to think that we know what is right and what is not right. But in order to have good relationships, we need that humility, that maybe my way isn't always the best way, or if I think that it is, maybe I can humbly suggest it. And if the other person's respectful, they may go, hey, you got a good idea there, lady. Maybe we could do that. And if it's not a good idea, maybe we can share that and we will say, oh, yeah, you're right. I was, you know, an illusion thinking that was going to work. So that requires humility. That requires respect. And that requires tolerance that we have differences. Because most of the time, we think we know better because we think our way is the right way. When in actuality, sometimes there's different ways to do things. And a man may be coming at it from one way, and a woman may be coming at it another way, but the goal may end up the same. So we need to have humility and respect and stop arguing over our differences and just see how we're going to conjointly serve Krishna. And so, yes, I should see that my husband is my guru. And if my husband's smart, he'll see that maybe I have a few things to teach him too. And conjointly we'll serve Krishna together.
Jai, thank you for a nice question and enlighten my doubts.
Just in case you had any illusions that your wife was going to listen to every word you said.
These are my prayers for Krishna, so I think if he's my best friend, he will answer.
Give me a wife who listens to my every word. If Krishna's answering your prayers, he's going to give you a wife that's going to help you advance.
Jai Gauranga, Jai.
However that may be. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Jai.